This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much to Neil Stewart Associates and Policy Review for inviting me to speak. I'm actually going to wear just one hat today, the Leadership Foundation hat, and to talk to you about leadership development as a bridge to international partnerships, with a question mark after it. My focus is perhaps a little bit different from what we've been talking about before, but it's about how leadership development projects and programs and research that the Leadership Foundation commissions can help both UK and overseas participants to cement HEI to HEI relationships, government to HEI, government to business, and institution relationships. And this picture of the Øresund bridge linking Denmark and Copenhagen with Malmö in Sweden is actually, symbolises this kind of international collaboration and a bridge between agencies. And it's also representative of a recent top management programme visit that we did to take a look at triple helix collaborations in this particular region. So it has a number of themes, this photograph. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about context very briefly, which is just the Leadership Foundation's international strategy and what we're trying to achieve, how we're trying to achieve that, and the kind of relationships, the strategic relationships we've needed to build, because we're absolutely tiny in terms of our international activity, just sort of two and a bit people. And so building relationships and partnerships is absolutely fundamental. Some examples of different models. They're a very, very quick snapshot. And then a few countries' examples to illustrate some of the benefits and some of the outcomes as far as institutions are concerned, but also to an extent countries. So to start then with, the context. We have a rather tricky balance to strike. The Leadership Foundation is broadly speaking, a membership organisation, and therefore we do wish to serve our UK membership in terms of the support we can give to their internationalisation strategies and international activities. But we're also interested, obviously, in working with the British Council and other UK agencies, UKTI as well, and looking at priority countries for the UK in general, but also for UK higher education. So we're just as our speaker from RCUK said, we have to prioritise where we put our efforts, and that is one way of doing it, by looking at where the UK's own priorities are. And then in terms of income generation to an extent, but also in terms of building relationships that are of benefit to the UK, we are interested in having international partnerships and having programmes and projects with overseas partners. And I'll explain the way these three things are interwoven and hopefully work together. We have to build relationships with other agencies, and those are government agencies, those are international agencies, they're equivalents to ourselves. There are one or two of these around the world, or beginning to be around the world. For example, there's a leadership, higher education leadership agency in Malaysia, there's one in Australia, the American Council on Education in the US for a long period of time has been involved in leadership development. So those were fairly obvious partners, but we couldn't do what we do without the support, funding, advice, and real partnership with the British Council and indeed with other agencies in the UK. And we couldn't operate in other countries very often if we wanted to build projects and programmes without operating with government agencies such as, for example, the Higher Education Commission in Pakistan or the UGC in India. So we're engaging with a number of different partners ourselves, which, as Drummond has already said, takes time and relationship building. We are running programs and projects in a growing list of countries in many regions of the world, often in very troubled regions or in very troubled circumstances. So it's a wide range of countries. And I suppose a common element is that all of these countries themselves are seeking to either reform their higher education systems or grow their higher education systems, encourage their higher education systems to contribute to their knowledge economies and so on. Some are seeking to be, as you know, hubs for higher education in the region as well. So we're gaining a great deal of experience by working in these different countries, and by working in some of them with which are dangerous, or there's a high level of risk management that has to be done, we're also gaining a great deal of insight and knowledge which may also be useful to universities in how to do that. We, like you, come up against the regulatory constraints, the QA constraints as well. Then I just wanted to spend a little bit longer talking to you about different types of leadership development models. To some extent, these mirror the kind of teaching relationships that you, all research relationships that you as institutions have, and in other ways they may be slightly different. The first one involves institution-to-institution twinning, and that's probably the most difficult to do in the countries where we've done it, for example, in China and in India, because the matching of institutions has been a tricky issue, I mean, both from both sides. And in the China case, and indeed in the India case, the government agencies want to have an involvement in that twinning as well. So that's not a straightforward thing. But from the we've tried to separate what the UK side does in terms of which partners it wishes to work with, and the other side, the other country. So that one-to-one twinning involves visits to each country for the partners, and then leadership development jointly in each country. And it involves gaining insights and understanding into the different systems of that country, as well as the detail of leadership and management of institutions. The two-way multi-link programs are a development in a way from that first model, in that instead of having just one individual from each side going to one institution, it's groups of individuals from the UK or groups of individuals from India going to visit a series of institutions and having a wider range of perspectives. And that helps in a lot of different ways, because there's much more exchange, there's much more support for each of the little groups as they move around, and opportunities for mutual learning. The two-way programs at several sites, I've given examples there of Pakistan and Iraq here. Now, these are requests from those countries for programs for heads of institutions or ministry officials, for example, from Iraq or from Pakistan. And what they're interested in doing is having some work taking place in the UK, some work taking place in country or near country, in the case of Iraq. And in those programs, what we seek to do to gain benefit for the UK is to ensure that those institutions that have links with Pakistan or Iraq, either in terms of their own relationships in the institution or indeed in the local communities, business communities or local communities, that those institutions might wish to host visits for those for leaders from those countries. And that's worked extremely well, and I'll come back to that, because there are local benefits and institutional benefits for the UK, even though the delivery of the programme is intended mainly for the benefit of that country. International dialogues is another one. We've had a couple of countries we've engaged in this, which is a joint programme. So it's with USA and UK, or Malaysia and UK, for example. And the point of it is mutual learning, mutual leadership development, mutual understanding of different institutional issues, or indeed future issues in higher education. I'll come back to that. We also have done a series of, I suppose you could call them, themed study visits. For example, very close look at fundraising in Canada in four institutions in Canada for leaders from UK institutions, jointly with CASE, the organisation that deals specifically with marketing, advancement, fundraising. And in Denmark, as I've just indicated, we were looking at Triple Helix collaborations. And in Dubai, we were particularly interested in their approach to transnational education and what it meant for UK institutions, for Australian institutions, for US institutions. So it's a possibility to look at a range of different institutional models. In Saudi, we've been engaged, again, at institutional request in taking programs that we have here, like research leadership, research team leadership, and delivering it in-house, in-country. And again, that's been a different way of working, and we've learned from that. In Hong Kong, we've just had our first international leadership development program that we back-to-backed with British Council's Going Global. And there, the point was to get in-depth look at the development of higher education in Hong Kong, its relationships with China, and also it was a fantastic opportunity to hold a lens back on the UK and developments in the UK, and what could we learn by doing that. And it was very good. And finally, we do joint research. This particular one on leadership and management of international partnerships, with John Field and the author in the audience, is about understanding partnerships, the leadership and management and governance of partnerships from two countries in this case, but several two researchers in two countries, but several different relationships involved with Malaysia and Canada as well as China as well as Australia. So quickly, just some examples. What are the benefits, really? This particular one is about India, and it's a cost-effective, in a way, introduction if you've not worked in India before, for institutions to get involved, to meet new partners, to gain experience from others in the UK, on the UK side, that already have partnerships in India. So it's an opportunity to get into new markets. It's an opportunity to extend institutional relationships, both for teaching and research, either with new partners or with existing partners. As I said before, there's a real opportunity for enhancement of civic and business links. So, for example, where an institution, I think Nottingham most recently, was involved with us, and Nottingham's fantastic, brought the mayor out, talked about their international relationships, and it was an opportunity really for a very wide range of players at Nottingham to engage in visits. That was not to do with India, but that was to do with another country. Cultural and leadership governance insights, just holding the lens up to your own practices and understanding other people's practices is immensely important. There are reputational advantages for the UK in terms of leadership development, showcasing leadership development that we do here, and possibly improving the UK's competitive position in that market. Pakistan, leadership development is absolutely essential, as seen by Pakistan, for their reforms. And these figures are taken from British Council independent evaluation, but as you can see, about 30% of vice-chancellors and 30% of senior staff from the HEC had engaged in leadership development through a series of 9 programmes that we've been running with the British Council. The demand for participation has been very high. There's been matched funding from the Higher Education Commission, And the outcomes have led to new strategic plans for these institutions, new skills, and they've built their own in-country network. A real learning community between them. And very beneficial to have ministry officials as well as higher education officials. And of course, it strengthened links to the UK as well. The USA example is, which is my final country example, is about dual perspectives on future HE scenarios. We were particularly interested in the future for the two HE systems, and we could look at that together with the benefit of colleagues from both countries. Institutional visits were also part of it, so everybody from the UK could go and visit and spend two, three or more days in American institutions with their partners. It was also an opportunity for insights into particularly topical issues, which are much easier to do when you're in the US, how they deal with students and alumni, how they deal with fundraising, political lobbying, and the importance of the private sector. And then we were able to build, and I know that's happened for the institutions that took part, so we've done this several times, has led to new partnerships, HEI to HEI, for research and exchange. And finally, just a very quick canter on what are the benefits as far as we can see. One is the working through key associates, and key associates from UK institutions who are from the country or the region. And so we can have a relationship with those key associates who are senior members of staff in UK institutions, but they have knowledge and political connections in the countries. I think it's a win-win for UK agencies. They can operate with us, and we can work together, the QAA, the international unit, and so on. Host institutions, as I've indicated, and host cities can benefit in the UK. They can also benefit through the bridge to other countries. Participants obviously gain. People who act as our programme and project leaders gain a great deal from their insights and the learning they get. The new networks, I mean, there are enough people now, as you know, working with China or working with Pakistan or working with India to be able to bring people together in this country in new networks for joint learning and mutual learning. There's an opportunity to leverage each other's resources, and there are all sorts of different forms of engagement and learning. Drummond talked to different pedagogical models, and we've definitely had to engage in that. In terms of working with people in other cultures and other countries. Thank you.